We open our meeting tonight with hymn number 11 on our sheet. We are anchor hold in the storms of life. When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, we are anchor drift or firm remain. We are anchor hold in the straits of fear. When the breakers roar and the reef is near, while the surges rave and the wild winds blow, shall the angry waves then your bark o'erflow? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, while the billows roll fastened to the rock, which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Could we stand to sing this hymn? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life?
Thank you.
pray together. Our God and our loving Father, we thank thee we can begin this meeting with prayer, singing this hymn and then prayer to thee, our God, to commit this time to thee. We're here for 45 minutes, our God, if thou dost allow us that long, to have before us thy precious word, the value of a soul before thee, and that great work of redemption, Father, that thy Son accomplished for thy glory and the eternal good of mankind. Unto all, but upon those that believe. We commit the gospel to thee. It's thy word, Father, it's thy work. And we ask thee to take thy word now and help us through the time together to speak well of thy beloved Son. For we give thanks in his most precious name. Amen. Before I make a couple of comments, I'd like to turn to the book of Job. Chapter 33. Job 33, verse 13. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in the vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, it cannot be seen, his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. We started with that verse there, 13. Why dost thou strive against him? You know, I must make a confession to you every time, and I know there are so many others here that feel the same way as I do right now, that when we get up to take the gospel, we hardly know how to present the message. But I have before me, brethren and friends, one word tonight. That one word has three letters. Why? W-H-Y. You ever ask the question, why? This verse starts here, 13, why dost thou strive against him? Oh, I don't have many verses to turn to with the word why in it tonight. But I want to give you, before I go on any further, I want to tell you about a man who 45 years ago said to God, why? This man just lost a son. He was killed in a car accident, 20 years old. This boy grew up in the home that I grew up in. It was my brother. His name was Ernie. I was a year younger than him. I remember the details so well. And very quickly, one night, like that, that young man, 20 years of age, in the third year of medical school, was ushered into eternity. He was one of 8 children my parents had. And I remember that that body was brought to our home in Pine Grove, Ontario. And I remember the number of people that came one after another to our house. And then I remember at nighttime when everybody left that my father gathered us around the casket to kneel down and pray. And my father went over by the casket, and he always kneeled down on one knee like this. That's the position that he was in, and his head was on the casket. And I remember him saying 3 words, why? He wasn't responsible in the accident. There was a drunk coming the other way. There were 4 in the car. There was 1 killed. Why? Have you had things you faced in your life and you've asked why? God sends things, friends. And I thank God he sends things in my life. Because as we have in these words, verse 14, God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Has he been working in your heart? Are you ignoring him? Oh, dear young people, I know the world is making a bid for your life. Dear children, growing up in Christian homes, I know what your parents tell you. And I know what you hear at school. I know what your friends say, a little bit of what your friends say. It's eternity that counts. And Satan has designed this world in such a way to make it so attractive to men and women and boys and girls and young people. He's making the bid for your life. He wants to drag you down to the pit. And so we have in this world deliver, in this chapter here, verse 24, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. Why does God send things in your life and mine, friend? Because he loves you. That's the bottom line. He loves you, and he loves your soul so much he doesn't want you to go down to the pit. And you're a traveler and I'm a traveler. And like we had before us last night, eternity is soon to be faced. Where are you going? Eternity, where? Where, friend? Are you ready to meet God? Why dost thou strive against him? You know everyone God speaks to. There's not a man or a woman who will be in a lost eternity who will be able to say, I never had an opportunity. I don't believe. But God says, just turn with me, please, back to Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. I know this is a well-known verse. Verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, friends, that God has sent His Holy Spirit into this world. And the office of the Spirit of God is to work in the hearts of men and women around the world. I love the pictures we have in the Word of God in connection with the servant being sent out at supper time. Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The compelling is done by God the Holy Spirit, and He works and He compels. And yet God allows the circumstances in your life and the different things that happen in your life. Why? Because He wants to get to you. Because He wants to save your soul and point you to Christ. Because He doesn't want you to go to a lost eternity without Christ forever and ever and ever. You and I have a beginning. We'll never have an ending. Now I want to turn to one of the most beautiful chapters in the whole, that I consider in the whole Bible. How do we take and we say which is better than another chapter? Psalm 22. I want to read the whole chapter, friends. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is a governor among the nations. And all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship, and all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. You know, I was thinking this afternoon as we were taking up that chapter in 2 Peter chapter 1, in connection with Peter there when he says that he spoke of the excellent glory and what he saw in that Mount of Transfiguration and the beloved Son of God. And when God declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, friends, before this, there was 4,000 years of man's history through this world. And God looked down from heaven and he saw the lives of every man and woman and boy and girl that was ever born in this world, traced them, wrote down everything of all their lives. And finally, after 4,000 years, one man was brought into the world who glorified God in every step that he did. And that was his beloved Son. And after 30 years of his life here on earth, God is so pleased with his beloved Son that he breaks open the heavens and he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Oh, it's beautiful to see that in the 17th chapter in the third chapter of Matthew, there at the River Jordan, I think it was, and there the Lord Jesus, as he comes out of the water, and those heavens are broken open, and God can't help himself, as it were, to declare unto all those people, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Never was there a man in those 4,000 years that walked for the glory of God. And so the word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And your conscience tells you that you are included in the all. But God had a man in mind, his own beloved Son, and he sends him down into this world, and he walks for those 30 years, and then another 3 years go by, and what's he do? He breaks the heavens, or he tells those disciples, Peter, James, and John, on the Mount of Transfiguration again. Any change in the qualities of that peerless man? With all that the ridicule and the mocking from all those around, no. Turn to it back, please, in Matthew chapter 17. Hold the place here, if you would, in Psalm 22. Matthew 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, friends, to think of God saying those words about that blessed man. Spotless, perfect. And then we turn to this chapter and we hear the words of the blessed Savior as he hung on the cross. And it starts out by saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why was he there? Why did God forsake his son? Why? Did you ever ask the question why in your life? The Savior asks the question. It's all right to ask the question why, as long as we ask it in the right spirit, because God sends things into our lives. This man hadn't done anything wrong. But God sends things into your life and into mine because he loves us and he's trying to wake us up. And he doesn't want boys and girls, men and women, young people, to go to a lost eternity. It's okay to ask the question why. But here in this chapter, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was still the Savior, the blessed Lord Jesus, still found him as God. He called him my God. He had confidence in him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What about the fathers in the Old Testament? Were they ever forsaken? Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. That is the language of the Lord Jesus himself as he spoke to God on the cross. I believe in those hours of darkness, and you and I are allowed into the chamber here to hear the language of the Savior speaking to God in heaven. In the hour of his deepest need. Why was it his deepest need? Oh, beloved friends, it was at the cross that God gathered all the sins of all the boys and girls and men and women who were going to come to Christ and piled them up. The piles and piles of sins. And God put them on the sinless one on the cross. All those sins that were covered up through the offerings in the Old Testament, the rug had to be taken off, as it were, and they're all exposed before a holy God. And then God, who is holy and hates sin, placed them on the head of his beloved Son, who knew no sin, and let out all the fury of his wrath against the Savior. My sins were there. And God judged Jesus as if he was the one who committed those sins. Did he die for you? Have you ever seen Jesus there dying for you? Nobody ever paid the price that he paid. God God could not look on sin. And sin must be punished. And either there be a spotless victim to be judged for the sins, to pay the price in full, or it's banishment for you and me forever to a lost eternity. The gospel is unto all, but it's upon those that believe. So no matter where you go in the whole world, oh, how precious to hear some of these stories. Oh, I love to hear that today about, and the brother was mentioning, about these young brothers in India going to virgin territory like apostolic days and giving out the gospel no matter where, unto all. And how many times have you heard it? And like our brother said, like they never heard, going to areas they never heard before about Jesus. How many times have you and I heard? Have you said no to him? Are you going on and you're striving against him? Oh, dear friends, the love that God has for you, the love that he has for me. Just think that 2,000 years ago, he knew we'd be in this room tonight. Is he working in your heart tonight? Are you still without him? Is he on the outside of your door of your heart, longing to go in, and you won't open the door? Why not tonight? Would you accept him? You know, if you'll let me go back again to mention in connection with, and there are others here that have lost family. I think of that young lad who's just killed out west there, 9 years of age. And I didn't know until today that there were twins that were lost in that home. Now, some time ago, 3 out of 5 children. God had one son, and he gave him for you and me. And he was with him for all eternity. And he loved him, enjoyed fellowship with him forever. You know, my father lost his son, but God gave. Lost a son, but God gave his son. He didn't have to, if I can put it that way. But he loved you so much that he wants you in heaven forever. You'll never be happy without Christ. Never. You can try everything you want in this world, but you'll never be happy without Christ. You can be happy in this world, and you can have Christ forever. What do you want, friends? What do you want? I love the hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. You know, there's some people that paid a big price to come to Christ in the way of losing friends. I never lost any friends when I came to Christ. Born, raised in a Christian home. Accepted Christ when he's young. I don't even know how old he was. I was. Some have made a choice and they've turned from their friends. Tells us in Thessalonians that they turn from God to from idols to God from idols to serve the living God. Do you think they were ever sorry? To have him fill up your life with happiness and joy forever. I want to just spend a little bit of time in connection with the sufferings of Christ and the cross here. You notice how it speaks, let's just go down to verse 8. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing it delighted him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope. When I was upon my mother's breast, I was cast upon thee. From the womb, thou art my God, from my mother's belly. And here, the Lord Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary into this world, brought into this world, grew up in that home. 12 years of age, as he says, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Every step of his pathway, as God looked down from the glory above and saw his beloved Son. Oh, is it any wonder that he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Thou art my God. Thou art my God, my joy, my hope, everything. The devotion of his heart was to God all through his life. The blessed man, the Son of God, came into this world. And here at the cross, it tells us about the Jewish hatred, about the Gentile hatred toward the one who was the Son of God, who always did his will. We find the opposition of the human heart. The Lord Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. You can't have the world and have Christ. And sometimes as Christians, we try to walk hand in hand with the world and with Christ. But it says in the Epistle of John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what that means? It just means this, friend. You can't enjoy the world all week long and go into the Lord's presence on Sunday morning and enjoy the Lord's company. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And if you're a Christian, if you've already come to Christ, and you make the world your choice to live in, you're not going to enjoy the love of God in your soul. You're not going to be happy, even tomorrow morning, coming into the Lord's presence. Oh, don't go for the world. Love not the world, said this old man, 85 or 90 years of age, John, near the end of his life, neither the things that are in the world. What did the world do to this blessed man? They put him on a cross. You want to side with the world in your life? An inscription over the top. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And Hebrew was the religious world. And Greek was the educational world. And Latin was the political world. This world does not want Jesus. Do you want him? He wants you. Have you any room for him? Will you accept him? So here we find about the Jews, it says, verses 12 down to 15. That's speaking of the Jews, many bulls of Bashan, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Imagine gathered around the cross. The hatred of man toward the Son of God. And it hasn't changed. The greater the manifestation of the light, the more it brings out the enmity of the human heart. And that is a heart like yours and mine, friends. As in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. Your heart is no different by nature. It may not have been exposed in all of this, and I'm sure it wasn't by anyone here in this room to the degree that it was done here. But friends, you have a heart that is capable of the same thing. Now you go down to verses 16 to verse 20. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. The dogs speak of the Gentiles. And here it was the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers were there to protect the interests of the Roman government, against, to make sure that the crucifixion was carried out in a right way. But the Roman soldiers, they did the very same to Jesus. They didn't protect him. The whole world was mad against him at that time. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I am told that at this time, when there were crucifixions that were done, that they took ropes and they put them around those that were crucified. Rope around this hand, the wrist, and a rope around here, and a rope around the legs. And what did they do to the Savior? They pierced my hands and my feet. The enmity of the heart of man was shown out at the cross like no other place. Do you want the world, or do you want Christ? They pierced my hands and my feet. Someday, boys and girls, men and women, you're going to look at the face of the man of Calvary, and you're going to see those hands. Oh, I look forward to seeing those hands and feet, and the spear mark in his side that tells us of redemption. The precious blood of Christ that flowed from a dead Christ there on the cross. You know, God couldn't wait. God couldn't wait. Oh, right after those words, "It is finished," the sun shone again. And the soldier came and pierced his side. Forthwith came there out blood and water. The precious blood of Christ. It's the only answer for sin, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Are you dependent on your good works? Are you trying hard? Oh, friends, Christ has done it all. He bore the judgment. Will you believe him? Will you receive him into your heart? Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you have him tonight? He's coming soon. Now I just want to make a couple of comments in connection with the last part. Oh, friends, this is so beautiful. Here it says, verse 22, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren." As soon as the Lord rose from the dead, he appears to Mary, and he tells her, "I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Go to my brethren and tell them. The brethren meet in an upper room, in a room where they're sealed off from the others. And came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And when he so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So it says, verse 23, Ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. And the gospel started to go out unto all and upon all them that believed. Thousands and thousands were saved. And then verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. The millennium, the results of Calvary. Oh, friends, what happened after the death of Christ on the cross was like a river that started. And you know, you go to the source of a river and you're going to find it's very, very small. And it gets bigger and bigger, like the Mississippi River. And it takes, and it gets larger and larger until there's this oceans of water that go into the ocean. And dear friends, it's like from the cross of Calvary that there is that river, and it gets greater and greater. And so you find here in verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. The results of the victory of Calvary, when it started from Mary, when the disciples were in the upper room with the Lord Jesus, when the thousands were saved, when the millennium takes place, and all the nations are brought into blessing. Why? Because of the cross of Calvary. Are you going to be left on the outside? You don't want to be. But there's a lost eternity if you're without Christ and you don't come to him. Will you accept him tonight? Will you open your heart's door and receive him? The end of the chapter, we don't have time to go over anymore. They shall come. They shall come, shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Oh, generation after generation, more people, those that shall be born. Oh, the flowing out of God's heart as a result of Calvary. And it's all for you, if you'll have it. Reminds me of the verse about a river of water. Just before I close, I want to turn to it. John 7. John 7. Verse 37, last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you accept Christ as your Savior, friends, God is going to put a well of water inside of you. And it's there to flow up, to make you so happy in your soul and bring blessing to everyone around you. Like the Philippian jailer when he got saved. What did God say to him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And you read about four times over those words, and thy house, within four or five verses there. He took God at his word and blessing was brought to his house. Will you accept him by faith? There will be blessing in your life. Take Christ tonight as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Blessed, loving God, our Father, we thank thee for the richness of thy precious love, O God. And we pray for boys and girls and men and women, they might accept Christ as their Savior tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.